on the same pathway to heaven, then we need to look after each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to fight temptation together. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, this is meant to be a big family. An extension of your immediate family. Maybe in some cases, the only family you have. The strong need to help the weak. We need to care for each other. If you, folks, if we don't, amen, then we are very susceptible to fail quickly from the faith. I said if we don't help one another, we are susceptible to fall from the faith. A long time ago, back in the Garden of Eden, you see, a part of Satan's tactic was to address Eve only. He didn't slither into that garden and say, Adam, Eve, sit down for a minute. He got talking to Eve by herself. He talked to Eve. Eve, even though Adam was right there as well, it's Satan's design, folks, to split up the family, to turn us against each other instead of fighting for one another. If your spouse is spending money foolishly, then you should say something to him or her. Knock it off. Children sense weakness in a home when the spouses aren't helping one another. When one parent is weak, it can hurt the family when he or she is used to as a leverage for sin. The problem with our churches, folks, and our families is that we don't make the effort. Amen? Don't put your head in the sand, folks. It's happening in your family or your church, then it is your problem too. Come on. I said if something wrong is happening in your family or happening in your church family, then it is your problem too. Come on. You believe that tonight? Speak up and condemn it. Don't be so afraid of the backlash. It sickens me when people know there's something going on, when people know that somebody is talking about people, when people know that somebody is doing wrong, and they won't speak up. Come on. You have to speak up. It's your problem too. Galatians 6, 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now listen, you don't go there like a nitwit and start yelling at him like you're perfect. Listen to this. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. You don't go talk to anybody about a situation unless you have an answer. Don't go tell somebody they got a problem and they need to take care of it. They say, well, what should I do? I don't know. I'm not the pastor. Give them scripture. Take them to the pastor. You see, when one man and his family disobeyed, The word says that God wasn't just angry, but that he was fiercely angry. You see, the Hebrew is hiron, which implies getting hot and red-faced. If there were consequences for Israel when they didn't even know what happened here, folks, amen, that then there's also might be consequences that God lands on you as well. Amen? I said, if God holds the whole nation of Israel responsible for a man's sin, how much is he going to hold on you for knowing about situations and not doing anything? Think about it. Especially when you knowingly allow sin to happen within your family or your church. Don't get quiet on me, folks. I'm not angry at anybody. I love every one of you. But what I want to do is want to make us a better place. I want to make us a stronger church. And I know there's this stuff that goes on. Don't think I'm stupid. God reveals things to me, folks. Come on. I've had people sit in my office and tell me about somebody, and I said, you think you're the only one that's ever told me that? You think I don't know about it? But I pick and choose when to bring things forth, because it ain't good if it isn't the right time. And I believe in nipping things in the bud. You see, when I find out about something, I go take care of it. You should do the same. You see, when the fire starts, you put it out quickly. You don't wait till it's roaring through your living room. That's what the devil wants you. Well, you know about it, but you're not the pastor, and that person doesn't want you to tell. Baloney! That brother or sister needs you to help them. Restore them, like the scripture says. You're playing right into the devil's hand when you hear that stuff. Let me tell you what happened to me one time. I had somebody, one of my family members, come to my house when I lived in Medina. And they come in there, and what would happen if you knew about somebody doing this or doing that? And I said, who is it? I wasn't playing his games. You know what? It was one of my brothers. And you know what I did? I told my wife, I'll be back. I jumped in my car. I drove down to where my brother was. It happened when I pulled in the drive, he happened to be walking. I jumped out of that car. I said, you go get your clothes, you get every one of them, and you make sure you bring church clothes tonight, because I'm taking you to church. And then when I got him in my car, I let him have it. You stupid idiot. Who do you think you are? I ain't kidding you, folks. I let him have it. Because he done some stupid stuff. He was facing 10 to 25 years. That's stupid. He knew better. But I wasn't having it. You know what I did? I took him to my pastor, we talked about it, and said, you've got to turn yourself in. I had family members ready to rip my head off, told me I was stupid. I said, oh, no, I'm not. He did wrong. He's going to pay the price. And because he did what was right, you know what? He spent some time in jail, 6 months. He had work release. Hear me, folks, work release. He got out, when he got sentenced, he had time served. He got 10 years probation, $10,000 restitution. He paid his restitution off early. They let him off of probation early. And today he's married with 3 wonderful kids living for God. We restored a brother. Was it easy? No. You see, I had family members said, where's the chance he may never get caught? Yeah, but he'll always be looking over his shoulder. And you know what the sheriff told him? The sheriff was shocked. He walked into the sheriff's department and told him what he did. He said, listen, buddy, nobody ever does this. Nobody comes in and turns themselves in like this. But he pointed his finger in his nose. He said, but we would have got you. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to man up and we need to restore one another. If we want to be strong and we don't want the forces of hell coming against us, we need to stand up to somebody and say, you are wrong for that action. You are wrong for that attitude. You are wrong for talking like that. You need to go repent. Restore one another. Sin has a way of being exposed. You see, Achan probably thought to himself, nobody is going to know the difference. He's standing there looking at this stuff, and he's thinking to himself, nobody will know. Nobody is going to get hurt by me doing this. I'm just trying to look after my family anyway. Oh, I just, you know, they know I love them and they trust me. Trust you for what? To help them continue in sin? How about trusting you to get in their face and say, stop it? Scripture says it's wrong. How about it? I'm just trying to look after them. You see, I wouldn't doubt it if other Israelites are doing the same thing he's thinking. Other people are probably taking it. Other people are probably seeing stuff, and they're putting it in their pockets too. Achan's probably thinking all this stuff. Nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody else. I'm just looking after my family. Everybody else is probably doing it too. So it's such a waste to burn such beautiful items. It's such a waste to just let this money go to waste. You see, folks, he wanted the beautiful robe. He wanted the silver and the gold. So he found a way to take them. And that's the way sinful nature works. We find a way. We justify ourselves. We condone, he began to condone his actions, and he must have convinced his family that he was doing this too. So they all slept in the tent that was built on stolen money, and they thought they had got away with it. But it didn't take long for the truth to be exposed. Only 4 rounds. They cast lots. 4 rounds. First the tribe, then the clans, then the family, then the individuals. And imagine, folks, the sweat running down Achan's forehead as each round brought him closer and closer to being exposed. But he held out until the very end in blind hope that somehow his sin will not be exposed. You know what Scripture says. You can't hide it. It will come out. So why do we think we can get away with this? Why do you think you can allow knowing that somebody is doing wrong and think that they can get away with it and you not be found out either? See, the devil will feed you a lie. You can do this. You can get away with it. Oh, no. It all comes out in the end. See, so here, Achan thought, I'll just keep holding out. He's seeing it getting closer and closer to identifying him, but he kept holding out. What is, folks, was it greed? Was it fear? Was it unbelief? I don't know. But whatever it was, it didn't work, and there was no excuse for it. You see, many families will go through great lengths to cover up truth. Come on. Many families will go through great lengths to cover truth. I read a story about a young man's grandpa and his grandma, and who had terribly dysfunctional relationship. And grandpa was a drunk. Grandma was an angry woman. But they both went to church. But rule number one was in this home that nobody would know their business. And even they wouldn't really talk about it themselves amongst each other. And grandma and grandpa did everything they could to cover up the addicted daughter. And even when they had to see their own grandchildren go through hell, they said, cover it up. But see, their church knew nothing about it. They knew, see, folks, they never, ever went to counseling. They just continued to wallow in their misery. And I wonder how many people in this congregation are living in the same type of misery, passing sin upon sins to their children and to their grandchildren, all because they are too ashamed to confess their sin. You see, ironically, the grandson wrote a book about it all. And now lots of people know about it. You see, your sins will find you out. But it didn't have to be. Those grandchildren didn't have to live through all that misery because they were ashamed and they just rather cover it up. We have to understand that confession is good for us. Amen. And when you understand, folks, hallelujah, when Joshua called him, he said, my son, praise the Lord by confessing. When you try to keep sins buried, it's like throwing rotten chickens in the garbage and not taking it out. And even though you can't see it, every time you walk past the garbage can, you cannot help but smell it. And it only gets worse over time. That's what sin does. Sooner or later, sin has to be exposed. Sooner or later, you have to take it out. You see, if it's not, folks, the whole house will have to be evacuated. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You see, folks, either expose it now while you still can, or it will be exposed on Judgment Day. Let me tell you something, folks. God loves honest sinners. You see, it may not seem like it, but it was a loving thing that God exposed Achan's sin for all of Israel to see it. All of the Israelites could see that you can't get away with anything in God's sight. If you think that keeping silent will help you, let me tell you, it will not. And when you have this conscience that is sharpened by God's word, folks, those sins will eat at you from the inside out. And that is why people give deathbed confessions of sins that they have held their whole lives, only to finally confess them on their dying bed. You see, it felt good for them to confess their sins. Why? Well, listen to what Joshua says to Achan. My son, listen to this. Give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Pastor, you're talking about a confession here. I'm telling you, folks, you are giving God the praise. Amen. You're saying, God, I am a sinner. You already know it, but I'm confessing it for myself. Joshua said, tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Think of all the ways that he could have addressed Achan, folks. Think about it. He could have said, come on, you jerk, you crook. Tell me the truth. He could have done that. What have you done, you miserable thief? But Joshua lovingly speaks to Achan. He says to him, My son. You see, he doesn't even treat him as an enemy, folks. He treats him as a child who has been caught doing something he knew was wrong. And folks, God is a God of truth. We glorify Him when we tell the truth about ourselves, even when it's ugly. Think about Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. Folks, then we have Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach to God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Sometimes when people come in and talk about their problems, they are obviously embarrassed and they say things like, "You probably think less of me now." You see, you might be especially embarrassed because you were supposed to be the strong one. But don't forget, folks, Jesus knows what it's like to be weak. He didn't eat or drink anything for 40 days. It made Him naturally weak and hungry with His human body. But if you ever, folks, have you ever had to give a favorite food or due to a fast or a medical condition, you know how hard it can be. Amen. You smell that coffee and you see that burger and you wish you could just have a drink just one time. Jesus was in the desert. He didn't have anything to eat. Had Jesus performed a miracle, folks, it would have been for self-serving reasons. And Jesus was the farthest thing from selfish. Jesus knew that wasn't right to use His powers that way. So he resisted, even though he was getting weaker and weaker. His stomach wanted food. And this is some ways was the essence of temptation, having the desire to do something but being forbidden from doing it. Jesus knows what it's like to be weak. So why do we feel embarrassed about confessing our sins to Jesus? You see, He already knows. He already wants to help you. But see, Achan came through with specific confession. He didn't make excuses for his sin. He confessed exactly what he did and exactly why he did it. He didn't blame God for giving such a difficult law. He just confessed his sins. Folks, and God was glorified through the truth. Achan admitted he was wrong. Achan admitted that God was right. What help was it for Achan, though? He and his whole family and all that he owned ended up being stoned to death and burned. You see, it was as if there was no mercy for them at all. But there is one word that might give us some hope. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us?" He said, "The Lord will bring trouble on you today." That one word is today. You see, if I have trouble for one day and not eternity, well, then maybe there is hope for me. Think about it. If there's trouble just for one day and I don't have to face eternity with it, I'm better off. Come on. I'm better off. You see, maybe that word is showing that the consequences of his sin is only a temporary and quick punishment. A quick death, but not an eternal death. John wrote in 1 John 1:8-9, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." This is the Word of God, folks, we have no reason to doubt that the same truth applied to Achan and his family as well. Achan, sin, and their death served as a warning for the Israelites to come. Take warning, take note. God has a fierce anger and is not to be messed with. You see, he wants us to deal with sin among each other. He wants us to repent. But you see, folks, hidden sin, hidden behind all of the wrath, amen, he also wants to call us his children and treat us as his sons and daughters. God wants to give us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now think about it, folks. If God held the whole clan, the whole nation of Israel responsible for one man's sin, then how about the opposite? How about the opposite? Could God then regard the whole clan and the whole world as innocent for one man's righteousness? What if the whole tribe was guilty, but one man never fell for the temptation or the greed? What if the whole world had skeletons in their closet, but one man never had any sin to hide? What if that one man also happened to be God, who came to take away the sins of the world? You see, instead of being afraid of being associated with us, that one man, we would want to be associated with him, and we would want him to be associated with us. Hallelujah. Folks, we want to be connected with him all the way. Let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah. I want to be connected with him. Hallelujah. I want to make heaven my home. And I want all of us here to make heaven our home. Hallelujah. Folks, God wants us to help each other. God wants us to be here. We have to understand that we are a part of something that is great, a part of something that is awesome. Amen. And with that comes responsibility. You can't just blow things off. You have a responsibility to your family. You see, you got to help. We got to help restore each other. I have to be here for the week. You see, that's one thing that's beautiful about being a part of the family of God is, hey, I know my family cares for me. And even if it's tough sometimes, I still am glad to be a part. My dad was nobody to mess with, buddy. When he said, don't do something, you better not do it. And he meant every word of it. But I loved him dearly. I mean, he took some things out of me before, folks. I knew he meant business, and everybody else did too. Now, Mom, you know, you wait till your dad gets home. Dad always came home. See, I wrote my dad a letter not long before he died. I said, Dad, I love you. And I am in what I am in large part because of you. See, folks, we can look at each other here tonight and say, I can serve God because of you. I can live in this world because of you. I don't know about you, but I love being a part of Church Pentecost. Come on. Thank you for being a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. I feel I have an obligation to each and every one of you. You see, I went after my brother because I felt I had an obligation. I was the oldest. Did I like doing it? No, I didn't. But he's a better man today because I wasn't afraid to get in his face. Now, I'm not saying, I am no way saying to get in people's face and be ugly. Like the scripture says, you better think of yourself lowly because you may be in that need. You may have your day. Don't think yourself high and mighty that you'll never sin. We need each other, but we need each other to love and care. Come on. And folks, we need to love one another. And we need to care for one another.